I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. We're less than 2 weeks into the health insurance open enrollment period, and so far, record numbers of people in Maryland and across the country are signing up for coverage under the Affordable Care Act, despite White House and congressional efforts to characterize the ACA as imploding. We're about a month away from the December 15th deadline to purchase insurance for next year. We'll get an update on Maryland from Dr. Howard Hath, the interim director of Maryland's Health Exchange. Then, the challenges faced by the more than 750,000 adult caregivers in Maryland who tend to their aging or infirmed loved ones and friends. It's emotionally and physically exhausting and also expensive. The average cost of caregiving last year was nearly $7,000. I'll talk with two experts about the support and social services adult caregivers need. First, the news. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you've chosen to join us for Midday. Welcome. A little later, we're going to talk about the almost 800,000 people in Maryland who are caring for members of their families or their friends. Caregivers come with many challenges, and we're going to explore them in just a little bit. But first, a look at how Marylanders are caring for themselves by making sure they have health insurance. Open enrollment through the Maryland Health Connection began on the 1st of November. In previous years, the enrollment period has lasted 3 months. This year, thanks to changes implemented by the Trump administration, the enrollment period is much shorter. It ends next month on December 15th. With about a month to go, we thought it'd be a good idea to check in with how enrollment is going so far. My guest is Dr. Howard Hath. He's the interim executive director of the Maryland Health Benefits Exchange, which runs MarylandHealthConnection.gov. That's the website where people shop and sign up for health and dental plans. Dr. Hath, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
And listeners, if you have questions for Dr. Hath about the MarylandHealthConnection.gov, our phone number 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, and if you'd like to join us on Twitter, @MiddayTomHall. So nationally, Dr. Hath, on the first day of enrollment, the 1st of November, some folks told The Hill magazine in D.C. that more than 200,000 people selected a plan for 2018, and that was up, that's double the number nationally than last year, and more than 1 million people visited the healthcare.gov website of fame and infamy that on that very first day, compared to about 750,000 last year. So it seems like nationally more people are jumping in these early days of enrollment. What's the situation here in Maryland?
So thank you, Tom. I think the situation in Maryland tracks very much the same. We're seeing twice the active enrollments as we saw last year through the first week, and that trend is continuing.
Twice. Yeah, that's interesting because the Trump administration and many in the Republican-controlled Congress and Senate would lead one to believe that the exchanges are imploding, that people aren't interested, that insurers aren't interested. That doesn't seem to be your experience here in Maryland, at least in these first couple of weeks.
So I think the fundamental question is, are people interested in having health care insurance? And I think we've really called the question this year by saying this is an important issue, and it's been in front of everyone for the last several months. And people, I think, are making important decisions about whether they need to have or should have health care insurance. And many of them are now coming to the exchange and saying, yes, we do feel like we need to have health care insurance. It's the only real ticket to our health care delivery system. And you're seeing that being reflected in the numbers.
Sure. About how many people signed up for insurance on the exchange last year? And to your knowledge, how many remain uninsured here in Maryland?
So our uninsured rate was about 6.1%, according to the census figures for 16. So that's a significant decrease from previous years, and probably as many as much as half of what it was in years before the Affordable Care Act. So if you look at those numbers, if we've decreased it by 6%, that's 360,000 people who now have access to healthcare who didn't have that before.
In many places around the country, we hear reports of fewer insurers offering packages on the exchange. Is that the case here in Maryland?
There are, in fact, fewer insurers this year, and we lost Cigna, who was one of the three insurers on the exchange last year, but they had a very small number of enrollees, less than 1,000, I think even less than 750 enrollees. So that was not a significant number to lose, and those enrollees are moving to other plans now.
And what about rates? We hear an awful lot about how rates are increasing. I guess there have been some rate increases here in Maryland as well.
Certainly, that's been a national trend that the rates in the qualified health plans have gone up, and they did as I think was announced by the Maryland Insurance Administration a few weeks ago, go up significantly in two steps. But I want to point out the fact that for most of the individuals who are on the exchange who receive subsidies, those rates are not reflected in their premiums. In fact, this year is in a very interesting twist of fate. Many of the individuals in the Southern Maryland, the Eastern Shore, and Western Maryland, and other rural areas have significantly lower insurance premiums than they have previously. Some places can get health care insurance for less than the cost of a movie ticket.
So that is so contrary to the sort of, you know, pervasive narrative about health insurance rates skyrocketing. Why is that? Are they paying less because they are qualifying for subsidies at higher rates? I guess at one point I read almost 9 out of 10 people getting insurance through the exchange here in Maryland are subsidized to some extent. Is that right?
That is correct, and I think the answer to your first question is that the subsidies are higher in those areas that in the far west, the Eastern Shore, and in Southern Maryland, because in those areas the second lowest silver plan, which is the index plan for those subsidies, has gone up so significantly that the advanced premium tax credit has also gone up in a commensurate way, and has left them with, in many cases, a lower premium to pay. So it's paradoxical, but it is what we see in the market now. The more important issues are going forward: market stabilization, being able to bring more insurers into our market, seeing more of the risks spread out to other young and healthy individuals, as we assume many will be who come into the marketplace this year, and seeing those premiums over time both stabilize and go down.
Well, let me just be sure I understand this correctly, because the insurers did ask the Maryland Insurance Commission for permission to raise their rates, and they asked for, you know, rate increases in the 40s or so, 45%. They were granted, as I understand it, increases in the 30s range, around 33% on average. But even with an increase in rates from the insurers of 33%, many people are paying less?
Yeah, people in certain areas of the state, where particularly where there is only one plan in their area, their subsidies have gone up, and many of them will actually pay less. That's mm-hmm. correct.
How about people in the bigger metropolitan areas, you know, Baltimore, Prince George's County, Montgomery County?
In those individuals where they have subsidies, they will pay nearly the same. Some may go up a little, some may go down a little, but the major effect for the rise in premiums affects those individuals who don't have subsidies. That is, those individuals who are above 400% of the federal poverty level.
Can you give us a ballpark number of how many Marylanders that involves who are not subsidized?
So it's around 88 or 90% of the individuals who are on the exchange have subsidies, so 10%, and maybe that's 10 or 12,000.
10 or 12,000 people. Other than the rates, what's different this year than last year in terms of what packages insurers are offering, the benefits that are attached, medically, what's different?
So I don't think there's a lot of difference in terms of the packages. The range of things that are in the packages stay essentially the same, and a lot of those are defined by the Affordable Care Act. There's differences in what the premiums and the co-payments and the co-insurances and the deductibles are between the different metal levels. And, of course, those premiums are the things that drive the overall differences between those metal levels. But things like, and it's important to note, things like preventive care are things that do not go to the deductible or have associated costs. So having insurance for many people means that they'll get free preventive care.
So we have about double the number of people signing up in these early days here in Maryland. Of course, Maryland has run its own exchange now ever since the ACA was passed. The fact that the Trump administration has cut the advertising budget for encouraging people to sign up under the exchange by some 90%. The fact that they've shortened the enrollment period so dramatically, it now only lasts 6 weeks. The fact that they're closing the healthcare.gov website for about 12 hours every weekend on Sunday from midnight to Sunday afternoon at noon. Is that having any effect? I mean, that you can notice at this juncture?
I would say it has no direct effect on us. We're a state-based market, and we don't adhere to all of those other federal restrictions, so we're open for business every day. 45 days is what we've selected as our open enrollment period, but that was done on a very analytic basis, and we looked at last year's enrollment, and 95% of the enrollments occurred within the first 45 days.
So did you have the option of extending the enrollment period past the time that the federal government's going to extend theirs? I mean, could you have made this a longer enrollment period if you decided to?
Yes.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, we could have. We had that option. But again, we felt that it was better for two reasons to keep it to 45 days. One, in that our past experience is that most people do enroll in the first 45 days. Second is that it allows then people who enroll to get a full year's coverage. So they'll be enrolled in their insurance plans on January 1 of 18. And third probably is also significant in that we can condense our marketing period to those 45 days as opposed to spreading it out. And in terms of marketing, our budget is essentially the same as it was last year, and we don't close on the weekends, and we're open for business because it's really important to us that we let everyone in Maryland know that health insurance is important to have because healthcare costs are so high, and if you don't have insurance, it can be devastating financially to you. Also, if you don't have insurance, you've lost the access to our healthcare delivery system, which is a great healthcare delivery system in the state and this country. So we really want to make sure that people are aware of that fact, and we afford everyone who can get insurance the opportunity to get insurance.
How about changes to your operation? I mean, now you've been at this a few years. I mean, you haven't personally been at it a few years. You're the interim director. But in terms of the website, technological changes, improvements, tweaks, are there things that your office is doing differently this year than you were doing last year? And what will that mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've really honed our skills in terms of being able to do outreach to the people who need to learn about health insurance and to be able to speak to them in the language that they understand in clear terms about the importance of health insurance. Technologically, I would say that we really, really have done extraordinarily well in terms of our mobile application, which now has over 150,000 downloads, and people are uploading documents through that, and they can do end-to-end enrollment in insurance. Our website has been refined considerably so that it's really easy for people to use that. We've learned lessons about in our call centers to be able to answer calls more quickly and get definitively to enrollment with people. We have connector entities around the state with 1,000 individuals who are sitting in their desks and chairs able to do hands-on help for individuals to get them enrolled. So basically, there's no wrong door anymore, either technologically or in terms of personal assistance to get people to be able to sign up for insurance during this open enrollment period. And most importantly, that for the young and the very technologically savvy, we have this mobile application, which is really, I would call it nifty, that people can go right on their mobile phones and get a year's worth of health insurance.
You may be the only guy calling it nifty. If you're a 25-year-old, you may not apply that term to anything.
It's an old term.
That's right. We're dating ourselves because we both understand that term. But we got to finish up here real quick. The role of insurance brokers. You talked about the number of navigators you have working. There's been some concern, actually, that the Trump administration is almost steering people to brokers, and they are in turn steering people to certain insurance companies. Does that is that something that you worry about here? Are there brokers still, selling insurance plans on the exchanges? One of the points of the ACA was to make choosing a plan easier, and and making it so you didn't need a broker to translate all of the rhetoric. What about the role of brokers here in Maryland?
Yep. So absolutely, we continue to use brokers, and brokers, we work closely with them. There are brokers who actually take turns in our call center through a special arrangement. We also have brokers who have been trained and have seats on the exchange so they can work with their pre-existing clientele or bringing other people in, and they can sell them insurance on the exchange also where it's appropriate. And where it's not appropriate, they can steer them to or guide them to other plans. So they are absolutely partners in this world for us.
So Standard & Poor's last week forecasted that enrollment nationally may drop as much as by 1.6 million people. Last year's level was 12.2 million people who signed up, just because of the uncertainty in the markets and the uncertainty, you know, surrounding healthcare. If you had to guess, in terms of Maryland, given the kind of start we're off to in these first couple of weeks, do you think you'll have more, fewer, the same number of people ultimately insured by December 15th?
So I will restate what I've said throughout this preseason and now into the season, that I remain cautiously optimistic that we'll keep the same number or increase slightly.
All right, Dr. Howard Haft, I appreciate your coming by, and best of luck as this important endeavor continues.
My pleasure.
Dr. Howard Haft is the interim executive director of the Maryland Health Benefits Exchange. The deadline for enrolling in a health plan that goes into effect on January 1st is 4 weeks from Friday, December 15th. The website is called marylandhealthconnection.gov, and we've got a link to it on our website, wypr.org/midday. Coming up, if you are the caregiver for a family member or a friend, you are not alone. More than 770,000 Marylanders are caregivers. And after a quick break, we'll talk about the challenges that those folks face and some resources for folks who need help. Before we go to a break, we note with sadness the news that we heard over the weekend that a good friend of Midday, Republican speechwriter and blogger Richard Cross, died last Thursday. He appeared on Midday many times, and I was honored to have him join me for election night coverage on several occasions as well. Richard was a thoughtful, principled guy, and we will miss him. Richard Cross was 51 years old. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.